in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 21. I'll read it for you. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God had shown his mercy, shown his grace, shown that he was slow to anger. He had given this person time to repent, but she was unwilling. She had taught and seduced God's servants to commit adultery and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Even though this was a grievous sin, God, in his love and mercy, gave her space to repent. God is slow to anger, not willing that any should perish. No matter how deep in sin you have gone, no matter how far from the Word of God you have strayed, God will give you space to repent. So why not repent and live? Because if you do not, God will come upon you with his judgment. I have learned that false teachings within the church is often presented as a new truth, usually by members of the church and not necessarily by the leadership. Many pastors could tell you of the times when some of their laymen in the church have wreaked havoc in their ministry. We all know that a well-groomed, good-looking man with a charismatic personality and fine speech can turn the heads of many people in their congregation. And so it is with a woman. A beautiful woman, well-dressed, with excellent speech, can turn the heads of members of their congregation. This woman, Jezebel, may not have had a leadership role in this church, but then that's not necessary to corrupt those in the church. There are many prophetesses throughout history who did not play a major role in the nation of Israel, yet had a tremendous impact on the kingdom of God. And 2 Kings chapter 22 tells us about a prophetess named Huldah. She was a great prophet of God. The king commanded that the priests go and speak to her. "Inquire of the Lord for me," the king says, "concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us." When Hezekiah read this book of God, fear came upon him. He said, "I need to hear from the Lord concerning this." So he sent the high priest. The high priest occupied a place of leadership, but not Huldah. She was just a prophetess. She was just a mouthpiece for God. She spoke what God told her to speak. She had no leading role in the church or in the kingdom. And then again, we find that Moses had a sister who was a prophetess. She had no leadership role with the children of Israel, yet she had an impact on the whole nation. In Judges 4:4, we read about Deborah, a prophetess. She occupied no seat of leadership. She was only a judge. She gave her opinion. She was an advisor. Barak was the leader. Deborah was his encourager. In Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 3, we find here that Isaiah was married to a prophetess. I think I know what some of you preachers may be thinking. No wonder he declared himself to be a man of unclean lips, living among unclean people. You may be saying it's because he was married to a woman that was a prophetess. No, sir, my friend. This was one of God's prophetesses, yet she had no leadership role. And then In Luke chapter 2 and verse 36, we read about one Anna, a prophetess. She was a widow, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So I would ask you, where did Anna prophesy? She never left the temple. She served God day and night in the temple. It was there, in the temple, that she prophesied. She prophesied to the people that came. I just thought I would throw that in for your information. Let's get back to this lady Jezebel that's in chapter 2. God had already dealt with her before this letter was written to the pastor, because in verse 21 he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she did not. God had already dealt with her. God had already settled in his mind what he was going to do with this woman. And he told the pastor, I'm going to throw her into a bed, and I'm going to kill her children with death, so that all the churches shall know that I am he that which searches the reins and the hearts. The Son of God had already made up his mind about Jezebel and her children, but those who had committed adultery with her had a chance. He said, except they repent, the same thing will happen to them. But he said, I'm giving them a chance. I'm giving them space. All they've got to do is repent. Isn't God a great God? Isn't he merciful and slow to anger? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn and live. So I ask the members of the body of Christ today, who are you listening to? Whose books do you read? And whose tapes do you listen to? Whose sermons do you hear? And what videos do you watch? Is your desire to know God more fully and to serve him more effectively? Are you being persuaded to go beyond the Word of God? In your desire to be intellectually progressive and religiously sophisticated, are you tolerating a false teacher in your midst? Are you tolerating someone who says that God's Word is true in faith and doctrine, but not in science and history? Are you tolerating someone who says that God is infallible, but the authors of the Bible are not? Therefore, the Bible has errors. Are you tolerating someone who is causing you to doubt and to deny and distort and dilute the truth of God? I would say to you, repent before God throws you into a bed of tribulations. Paul said this in Acts the 20th chapter, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And then he says, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. We have to watch those who we are listening to. We have to watch those around us. Let us not be carried away by every wind of doctrine. Stand fast. Hold fast that doctrine of Jesus Christ.